TC Money Matters with Kerry Cooley and Jack Godfrey from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zeeland. The opinions voiced in this show are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your attorney, accountant, financial advisor, or tax advisor prior to investing. Securities are offered through LPL Financial, members FINRA and SIPC. Now that we got the legal stuff out of the way, here are the guys cooler than the paid-off mortgage. Your hosts of WHTC Money Matters, Kerry Cooley and Jack Godfrey.
Hey, good morning, Holland Zealand. This is Kerry Cooley.
And this is Jack Godfrey. Quite an open there. That's a new open for us.
That is.
Cooler.
Yeah, it's cooler, huh?
Yeah.
But hey, we're live. Listeners, we are live. We are in the studios today. We're taking your calls at 395-1450. And today we're going to be talking about investing for major financial goals, like saving for a house, saving for retirement, saving for a second home, things like that. We're going to cover cars, yeah,
yes.
Everything. But so we have a great show coming up, and the market since we've been gone has been
steady.
Yeah.
Well, that's what the Fed likes. We're in an environment now that people talk about rate increases. I'm going on record. We're not having a rate increase for a long time.
And Jack, I think we should tell our listeners why you think that. I know why you think that, but let's tell our listeners why you think that.
Well, I mean, it's one, we don't have high inflation. That's one reason.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have labor costs that are going out of sight. When I say labor costs out of sight, where we were, let's say back in 98, 99, that period, 2007, we couldn't find people to work, which drove up labor costs. We don't have that today. We basically still can't find people to work, but but there is less jobs than there were then. I think we could have more jobs, but the companies that are out there today are afraid, and they are afraid of one thing, that's the government.
Well, and they're afraid of hiring more people because of all the new government rules and policies.
Yeah, regulations, it's people don't realize the regulations until you're in business. And, if you take a look at our corporate rate and people say, geez, corporations ought to pay more taxes. Well, Michigan has the highest corporate rate in the United States. And you're seeing this inversion going on now, like what happened at Perrigo and Allergan, where they buy a company in the Ireland and all of a sudden they're incorporated in Ireland and saving millions of dollars of taxes. So, we're not going to have a rate increase. We don't see unemployment. We don't see inflation. Therefore, rates are going to stay low, which for a lot of people, that's not good. For the savers.
I mean,
talk about major financial goals. And for savers, my parents, your parents typically carry, they saved with CDs and savings. CDs and savings are not really the place to be today.
Well, you're going backwards. I mean, even if you can make 1% on a savings account and inflation's 3%, you're going the wrong way.
Well, yeah, you're going the wrong way. You got inflation, plus you got to pay taxes.
Yeah.
You got to pay taxes on that 1%. And, interesting, I had a person come in the office the other day and wanted to buy a fixed annuity. And I said, I don't sell fixed annuities. And they said, well, why not? And I said, why would I want to lock up your money for 5 years, 3 years, 7 years, penalty if you take it out early, and buy something that's 2 or 3%? I said, I can always get you more. Is it guaranteed? I go, no. Is your investments at the bank guaranteed? Well, yes, it is guaranteed. It is FDIC insured if you're in a CD. In a fixed annuity, you're backed by the insurance company. So it's, is it insured? No. And when I'm talking about fixed annuity, is there some risk to it? Yes. Is there much risk? No. But I'm just not going to lock up people's money for 5 or 7 years because they're afraid of their shadow. And I just don't do that. So I'm really interested in people calling in and talk to me why they buy fixed annuities and CDs.
Oh, absolutely. That'd be a good question. Oh, yeah, yeah, we'll put that out there.
Just bring it up.
And, you know, another reason that I think we could add to that why we don't see interest rates going up anytime soon, because I believe the same thing you are. I'm in your camp, Jack, is that if they start raising interest rates, what's going to happen is, you know, people aren't going to borrow money, things, and that could slow down the economy quicker than what they want to and have an adverse reaction.
Well, it could slow down the economy. That's one of it, you know, but it's going to help some savers. It's going to help the insurance companies because they're, you know, they need interest rates to pay people out more for their annuities and fixed annuities. It's going to help, but it's not going to help the federal government, which is already $18 trillion in the hole. And going larger with potential more war stuff going on. You know, when we bomb people, that's a cost.
Mm-hmm.
That's a cost. I mean, this isn't cheap. This isn't a cheap war. It's a safer war, loss of life, but it's expensive. You don't fly those planes and drop those bombs for free.
Yeah.
Who's paying for that?
There's still people working behind the scenes doing all that.
But, you know, yeah, you look at the economy is just chugging along, and it chugged along last year pretty doggone good. And if you look at where our numbers are year to date, it's chugged along pretty doggone good.
Yeah, year to date, you look at large company stocks, you know, they're up over 6.5%, 6% in all those areas. Mid cap is up over 4, 6, 9% in those areas. Small cap is the area that has lagged year to date, down slightly. I mean, 1.5% approximately is what that area has been down. But you're not going to have every sector up all the time. And
No. I mean, small cap takes more risk. It has higher return over the period of time. But, you know, you go back for the year, year over year, August over August, we're still looking at somewhere between 9.5% to 19% up. And you know, people continue to say, and on the news, nightly news across America, we're at an all-time high. Well, we pull back from that all-time high. You know, we talk about this every time that we have a radio show, that the price earnings ratio, what you're buying for things, is fair value. That's good. You know, we have the pullback yesterday and the day before, basically on the Ukraine. You know, Ukraine has invaded some of the Russian convoys. That pulls back the market. You know, so we've had some unemployment spikes a little bit. That's caused it. Some industrial production, even though it was good, it wasn't as good as we thought for. Customer sentiment is okay, but it was down a little bit. So, you know, I think the government is real happy with just kind of chugging along with no inflation, low rates. And for people who can buy houses today, it's stellar.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It's stellar. I mean,
well, I know in talking to our real estate person, Jack, you know, homes in the Zealand area, Holland area, Hamilton area, if one goes up for sale, they're on the market 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Average of 2 weeks.
Yeah, it really is 2 weeks. And, you know, stocks continue to report good earnings. But now it's all about, you know, what kind of risk are you willing to take? And, you know, I want to hear your call, 395-1450, if you want to talk about risk. I love to talk about risk. You know, with most customers we have that are close to retirement or are retirement, they're getting a little bit cocky today. Well, they are. I mean, they are, you know, Jack, why aren't our up higher? I go, hey, I'm happy with 6 to 8, and we've got 6 to 8.
Well, we see the numbers of how stocks are doing so well, and then we look at that and say, oh, I should be there. But you have to remember where you're at what point in your life and what you need. Do you need more conservative income-producing investments? Well, we're not going to be investing a lot in the stock market if we're doing that. You have to look at where your unique situation is. And sometimes, Jack, I like the term, we can get a little greedy. We look at in the rearview mirror, and we want to head over there to the other camp, don't we?
Yeah, I mean, that's where people have to look. And again, I'm a kind of a boring investment person. I like little risk and nice returns. But you have to make sure that you're spread out. And hey, Claire says we're going to take a break. Claire's on the board today. So, Claire, good to see you. And we're going to take a break right now. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters.
Hey, welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Hey, our show today is Investing for Major Financial Goals. However, we always like to talk about the numbers for the week. What do we got? What are the sayings?
Hey, I'll start off while you're looking for yours.
Yeah, I got mine right here. I got mine circled. Don't be stealing mine, though.
Right. No, I won't. Hey, worst day in 2013, and then what happened after that worst day? If you look back in calendar year 2013, there was a down period of time, was a total return loss of 2.5%. But then right after that, the market bounced back 26.2% just in that short period of time. So sometimes we need these down days or weeks to kind of settle things down. People step back and say, let's look at the facts. Let's not look at the emotions. Because right now, I believe this past week, a lot of it's been emotions based on tensions in the Ukraine, and things are still fine. They really are fine. And it's just been the emotions part of it, Jack, that has driven the market.
Yeah, I mean, there's always going to be pullbacks, and you know, call 395-1450 if you want to talk about your thoughts on the market. But you know, there's going to be pullbacks, and the issue is when you're talking to your financial advisors, what you have to agree to is, how much does it pull back before we do something else? And I like to say, you know, maybe it's 5%. That's what I've done for most larger investors. You know, 5% isn't much when you got a dollar. It's not much when you have $1,000. But when you're talking $100,000, well, it's $5,000. You talk a million, it's $50,000. Talk, you know, $2 million, well, it's $100,000. Mm-hmm. That's a lot of money. So you have to deal with your advisor and your risk tolerance and say, let's just talk about the risk that we have and what is our standard deviation of losses. Is it 5%? If it is, then what do we do? Then what do we do? You know, there's some, you know, some stocks out there that are less volatile. There is money markets you can go to. There are some things that are pretty steady. You know, when we say defensive stocks, you know, P&G is kind of a nice one. You know, it's not, I'm not recommending it, but it does increase its dividends every year. But that has pullbacks as well.
Yeah, most stocks do have pullbacks. You know, we're talking about energy and other things. How about this, Jack? Do you know that oil is the world's leading source of energy ahead of coal, natural gas, and nuclear energy, and it's responsible for about 32% of global energy. However, I find this very interesting, is that oil's share of global energy consumption has declined each and every year for the last 14 years.
Wow.
So consumption's going down. We're looking to other areas.
Well, I think we have to look at other areas. You know, I was just reading a Wall Street Journal article, Wednesday or Thursday of this week, and it talks about coal. It talks about how many mines are closing down on the Appalachian Mountains because they, you know, one of their main buyers of coal in that area was Florida. So what they're doing now is Florida is getting coal out of Central and South America a lot cheaper than it's shipped by train from Appalachia. Because, you know, big container ships hold a lot of coal. And per ton, it's cheaper to get it from South America.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. It's and the other thing is, too, you know, you get a lot of EPA regulations on coal, and it's dirty energy. But when you think about here in the States, with all the technology, all what they call air scrubbers and all that, it's really a clean energy.
Yeah. It's not clean. It is probably not as bad as it was years ago.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Here's a good one. You know, it always pays to wait to take Social Security at full retirement. For retirement. FRA, for retirement. And so it's, for you, Kerry, it's going to be 67. For me, it's 66. For some of our listeners, it's going to be 65. A lot of good things happen when you get to full retirement. A lot more things that you can do. And if you decide to wait past that time, every year you wait, you get 8%. And I know we talk about Social Security a lot, but so many people make mistakes when they take Social Security at 62. But if you can wait until full retirement, it's a lot better.
Mm-hmm. It is. And it's a strategy behind it. You have to think what's going to work the best for you by waiting. And, you know, you think of Social Security, aging population, you know, the aging population, so 65 years of age and older, is projected to grow from 14 to 21% of the population here by the year 2039.
Well, I mean, 10,000 people are retiring a day. 10,000 people. That's a big number. That's really a big number. Let's talk about unemployment. Nation's unemployment rate was 6.2 as of July 2014. The highest rate was in 1947, 10.8. You know, it's unbelievable. The lowest unemployment rate was 2.5 in 1953.
That's a long time.
Well, that's a long time ago. Yeah, I mean, it's a long time ago. Out of college, the average American family anticipates borrowing 26% of the total cost of their child's education. 26%. College education day for newborns, probably $250,000.
And that's average.
That's the average.
Wow.
That's the average. 26%. That's a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Hey, we need to get over to our questions.
Yeah.
Let's go over questions. We always have a Social Security question.
Yeah, our Social Security question. Here, listeners, by the way, if you want to write in with your questions, or call us, it's 395-1450 right here, or you can reach out and give us a call at our office, 931-1223. That's 931-1223, and we'll take your call, answer your questions. Hey, this Social Security question is, can I get full Social Security benefits if I work?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I mean, you have to hit some markers. The first marker, of course, is 62. You can still work, but you can only make about $14,000. Actually, this year, it's $15,120.
You can make as much as you want,
oh, yeah,
but it comes back if you're above that number you just gave.
Right, $15,120.
$15,120. What happens is for every dollar earned above that, or I should say every two earned above that, you pay a dollar back.
50%. 50% tax if you earn above $15,120. Now, if you get to what we call full retirement age, you could work as much as you want, and it doesn't affect your Social Security.
And earn as much as
now,
you want,
now,
yeah.
We're not talking about federal tax here now. We're talking about Social Security tax. Social Security tax. So, again, start taking it 62. You make over $15,120. 50% Social Security tax. That's a big number. That's a big number. So, you know, you have to think, what is your strategy? Now, people say, well, 50% is better than nothing. Okay, well, I guess it could be. Yeah, mm-hmm. It really is, could be. So if it fits into your budget and you need to have the money, then I understand that.
Well, and the other flip side of that, too, is you could be dropping off low-income earning years of Social Security, and if you're still working, you may be gaining.
Right. It's a strategy. Every time, it's a strategy. Here we go. Is my company pension taxable? Well, it could be.
Yeah,
it really could be.
Well, yeah, and most pensions are fully taxable. You know, some are partially taxable depending, you know, if you had a cost basis in the pension. So every pension that a company has is different. Most of them, when you take that money out, it's taxable.
And you're going to get a 1099-R from your human resource department of the company you work for, and they're going to say what portion of that is taxable. So it's going to tell you on your 1099-R, and if you like to talk to your pension plan administrator, you need to call them at the place that you work for.
How about this, Jack, about that whole pension thing? You know, there's a few unique situations pensions may be tax-free, and that is in the case when they come from the Veterans Administration, when they're involved disability payments for public safety officers and firefighters.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people that their pensions aren't taxed today. You know, recently, of course, in the state of Michigan, they're beginning to tax those in a certain portion. So, you know, that's one reason many people do not like our Governor Snyder. I think he's been our best governor ever, but that's just my opinion.
Well, you know what? He's gotten things done. He's balanced the budget. He stays low under the radar with the media. But you know what? He's there getting things done.
Yep. And you know, and I know there's a lot of things going on with corporations in Michigan, and there should be things going on with corporations in Michigan. You know, you look at what's going on with California. Corporations in California are leaving, going to Texas. because of no state tax. Just because of that one reason. And it's just unbelievable. And Rick Perry down there is doing a heck of a job. You know, I was just in San Diego for a conference all week, and a number of people from Texas I talked to, and they said things were going pretty doggone good down in Texas.
Yeah, that's great. Hey, listeners, we have one more question, but we're going to take a short break here. We're going to be right back. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. Welcome back, listeners. You are listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is your host, Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Hey, we got another question here. The last question we've got for you today is, are there any tax consequences if you roll over your 401k into an IRA? And that's an easy answer. No.
No, because it's a tax-free rollover because you're going from a qualified plan to a qualified plan.
Now, there's new rules coming out. FINRA is establishing new rules, and the rules are this. You know, the federal government, and this is just, you know, at a compliance meeting out in California, that's a few-hour meeting, and they're talking about new compliance rules for 401ks. Those rules are this. When you talk to your financial advisor, it's been in the past pretty much known that if you roll it over into an IRA, there's better options. One, yeah, that's true. I think there's better options, but you have to spend more time with that person, and you have to document those discussions. Is it going to cost more than my 401k? What are my options? What are the benefits of working with you? And you actually have to put that in your notes now and document your discussion with a rollover.
Well, and let's even go another step further. The other thing that we talked about at the compliance meeting was if you're in a 401k plan and you want to call up a representative of that 401k plan, they can't help you. And if that person that works at that employer comes to us and asks for help, we won't be able to help them either.
Yeah.
It'll be dial 1-800.
Well, what the government wants is they don't want to get any advice. They really don't want people to get advice today because they think advice costs things. And people like you and I, Kerry, have to charge for advice somehow, somewhere. That's our model. So, you know, they're going after the financial business right now. They went after the doctors with Obamacare. They don't want to pay them for that. They're going after us. One profession they haven't touched yet is the insurance people and the attorneys. They haven't touched them, but they'll be coming after them. So, you know, the way the government's going, if Obama had his way, everybody would have a government IRA. And the government would invest that for you. So if you want the government to invest that for you, just keep voting for everybody you like that wants the government to take over the world. So they're coming. They're coming. I mean, it's they want to take over your investments. That's what they want to do because it's not fair that some people have more money than others.
Well, and it's happening kind of under the radar, very, very slowly.
Yep.
And that's what's going to continue to happen if we don't understand what's going on. We need to, number one, understand what's happening out there. We need to vote what we believe is right.
Well, you need to, you know, we both belong to an association that we write letters to our senator and congressman. We write individual letters to them because actually we get letters provided to us that we send. And, you know, you as a person out there listening, you should be talking to Bill Huizenga. You should be talking to, you know, your personal U.S. representative. And I know we're going to have a new senator stepping up here. Carl Levin is going away. And hopefully that's going to be a person that's going to be standing up for us.
No, absolutely.
And we need to be writing people and say, what's going on? You know, what are all these regulations going on? And, you know, I do believe that some people do not get full disclosure, but you come to us, we give you full disclosure. But again, if the government has their way, you'd be on your own.
Well, and, you know, what's interesting about my family and I had the opportunity here, we took a vacation, went to Washington, D.C., and we took our in-laws with us. And one of the things we did was we took a tour of the Capitol, and we had an opportunity to be with Bill Huizenga, and he, you know, want to send my thank you out to him. He just did a great job of giving us a tour of the the Capitol after hours behind the scenes. But what was so good, one of the things I remember you talked about, we're sitting on the floor of the House of Representatives, and he talked how things come to vote. And when a bill is introduced, it can be introduced to the floor in three different ways. It can be introduced in a way where no amendments are allowed. It can be introduced to the floor with amendments allowed only in certain sections. Or it can be an open bill, meaning it can be introduced to the floor and any and all amendments are allowed at the vote time on the floor. So amendments get thrown in there, voted on, passes. All of a sudden you have all these things that have been snuck in.
That's called pork barrel spending. That's what that's called.
Yeah, but I just found that very interesting. He says not too many go that way anymore, but no wonder so much of this stuff got through in the past.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, we're going to talk about investing for major financial goals. So, you know, if you want to belly up to the radio, listen in the car, you're going to want to listen to us talking about short-term, mid-term, long-term. And I think you have to kind of section those out, because when you invest, you really need to put that into different buckets. So when you think about that, your short-term goals are probably less than 3 years. And I always ask money, Carrie, and I think you do too, is when, you know, hey, Jack, I'm going to send you money. And the first thing I say, what's your time frame? What are you going to use it for? When do you need it? And they'll usually say, da-da-da-da-da, it's for a trip, it's for a car, it's for a house down payment, or invest it long term.
Yeah, it's really defining your goals and what you want to do for your future is what's happening. And Jack, you're so right. You know, 3 years or less, you have midterm, you have long-term goals. Long-term goal would be planning for retirement.
Well, more than 10 years. I mean, it could be more than 10 years. But one thing that kills people's retirement, you know, so we're talking a separate thing. I'm doing a little segue here. So what kills people's retirement is when they call you and say, I need $10,000, Jack, I need $30,000. And I go, hey, wait a minute here. We talked about your goals. This wasn't part of your goal planning. I know, but. And I go, we've talked about how this kills your retirement. Because if you retire at 65, you virtually have 30 years to go. 30 years to go. I mean, you need to think long term. 30 years is where you need to think about today.
Yeah, so even if you retire at that age, you still need to set long term goals.
Well, yeah. I mean, if you all of a sudden you take $20,000 away, what's that mean for 30 years of investing? That's a lot of money. It's a lot of money. It's going to be hundreds of thousands of dollars you've given up in long-term money that you've now spent. So, you know, you need to think about, so when you're driving today or listening at home, you think about 3 years or less, 3 to 10 years, over 10 years.
You know, when I think about this and why setting goals and having specific goals in mind so important, because if you didn't, it's no different than digging a hole in your backyard and throwing $50 in every month but not having a goal. You need to have clear, defined goals. I know when Kim and I wanted to buy a piece of property and build a home, we knew our time frame of when we wanted to do this. We were saving money each month for this, but that was a clear, defined goal within a 10-year period of time from us being married.
Well, you know, and you talk about pitfalls of long-term goals. Long-term goal right now is you have a baby right now and you're not putting money away in a 529 account. 529 accounts, for those listeners out there, are a college account. You got to use it for college or you're going to pay tax and penalty on it. So, you know, those are one of the long-term goals that I think people don't really pay attention to. And then, you know, and I talk to a lot of people about that is, where you been for 18 years? Yeah, it's just one of those that, why haven't you, you know, you have kids. Why don't you think about saving? Why don't you think about those long-term goals? So that's one we need to talk about.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So Claire says we have a call. So go ahead. This is Jack and Carrie. How can we help you?
Good morning. Good morning. This is Jack and Carrie.
Sorry, I have the wrong number.
Okay.
Yeah, not a problem.
All right, no problem.
So, you know, so let's just talk about short-term goals. Well, what would those short-term goals be, Carrie?
Short-term goals would be, let's think here. Well, it could be saving for a car. That would be a good short-term goal. You know, you look at a car that you want to buy. Is it new or used? You look at what you want to spend, how much you want to put down. Do you want to borrow money? That all goes into that short-term goal planning, because some people say, well, I want to pay for the car all in cash. And I tell people, whoa, let's wait. If you put a nice down payment and you can borrow the rest of the money for, let's say, 3 years at 1.9%, and you can turn around and keep your money in your other investments making an average of 7%, you're ahead.
Yeah.
But you need to have, the key behind this is, you can't just go out and get loans just for the sake of getting loans. You need to have a commitment to paying that loan off and making those regular payments and putting that into the budget. So that's one short-term goal. How about another short-term goal?
Another short-term goal would be those large trips that you want to take. I mean, do you want to go to Europe? What do you want to do for the trips? And that, that goes down to part of your bucket list. So, my wife and I, we're a list people. So we have short-term, medium, long-term savings. We have the bucket list, which are trips and things that we want to do, write down. What do we want to fix? Things would be putting a driveway in, our next trip. Those are all things that you have to think about for short-term. So you almost have to put this into a spreadsheet, again, small or short-term, mid-term, long-term, and then you rearrange them. Those long-term goals could be up to mid-term goals, or short-term goals could go to mid-term. So it's one of those where, I'm a spreadsheet person, just write it down, keep it in a file, and then, when you and your wife are going over your budget or your financial plan, start writing these things down. How are we going to get there to pay for it?
Yeah, absolutely.
But we also have to recognize that we need to take a break right now.
Yes, we do. And listeners, you're listening to WHTC Money Matters with Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. We'll be right back.
Hey, welcome back, listeners. You're listening to WHTC Money Matters. Today, we are talking about investing for major financial goals, and we're talking about, right before the break, we're talking about how to set goals, and those goals can be, short-term, medium-term, long-term. We're talking about different short-term goals, long-term goals, and Jack, before we, we're going to talk a little bit more about that, but we also want to talk how to invest for those goals.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's really probably the end of the discussion. But, I can't emphasize enough that people need to write this down. And when I say write it down, I want to put in a new driveway. What's a new driveway cost? $10,000. Okay. You write that down. I want to do this. I want to buy a new car. $30,000. Okay. That'd be a shorter or midterm goal. Okay. I want to retire at 65. Well, how are you going to get there? So all those goals, and then you meet with your financial advisor, and then you start to develop that plan, but you have to come in with certain things written down. Most people don't have a clue when they can retire.
No.
Don't have a clue. They're just saying, I'm going to retire hell or high water at 65.
Yeah.
That's just what it is.
Our question to them is, can you afford to retire?
Yeah.
Can you do it? You have to, planning for retirement, you have to plan for a long life. You have to think about how much time that you have until retirement, and then how much time you're going to live in retirement, and then consider also other things like how inflation will affect your retirement savings. Those are really things that you have to think about up and beyond just the normal, I have 30 years. No, you need to add inflation into that. You need to think about how much you want to live off of per year in retirement. You want to maintain your standard of living. What's it going to take to get to that point? And those are good things. Now, a good midterm goal I would put down for me, Jack, would be college savings.
Well, yeah, it's because you're in that 3 to 10 years. You're only 4 years away now, or 3.5 years away.
Yeah, one is 3.5 years away, and our other one is 6 years away.
Yeah, so those are big numbers.
They are. So what we look at is how much will that college cost, and, you know, you research, and we know a few people we can talk to, you research financial aid packages, you know, you look at state-sponsored tuition plans, or is your son looking at a place outside the state, you know, you have to look at those things. But I think what helps, you know, for us, currently our boys go to private school, we pay for that. Well, that's going to continue on a little bit, helping them into college too.
And you only got two kids.
I only got two kids. You got five.
Yep. So it's, you know, it's just.
Let's talk about the fifth one.
Yeah.
Getting married.
Yeah, getting married October 11th. Our little baby girl, Emma. She's old enough. She's 28.
All right. Awesome.
Yeah, she needs to come out of the gate hot with triplets. That's what I'm telling her. So I quoted the second daughter that I said, you know, you're probably going to have twins. She did. So I'm predicting triplets. Boys. Three boys.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Well, she's not married yet, but I'm just saying that's when she does have kids. She's getting up there. She's got to get going.
Okay, we need to put a coffee on it, right?
Yeah, so I'll put more than that on it. So, you know, it's when you talk about long-term goals again, you know, we need to talk about how can we, as financial advisors, help you get to long-term goals. We have a great package. It's from Money Tree. It's a great financial package. List what you have. When do you want to take it out? And we can say, here's the cash flow that's going to take you there. What kind of rates do we need? 3%, 5%, 6%, 8%, 10%. And we'll cash flow those to see how you're going to get there. We'll do that. We'll tell you what it's going to cost you to go to a college. You want to go to Yale? Fine. You want to go to a Hope? Great. You want to go to Michigan State? We get downloaded to our system the current cost and what the projection is going to be based on inflation, what college cost is going to be for you 18 years from now, if you have a newborn. How are you going to get there? And I think one of the things that people make a mistake in, Kerry, is they don't tell their kids, they hide from their kids the ramifications of going to college. Meaning, when do the kids get to belly up to the table and say, wow, I have to borrow $80,000? Yep, that's what you're going to have to borrow.
Mm-hmm.
And you better start putting money away as soon as you can get that kid to work.
Well, we went through that exercise with a person I did anyway this past week. He's going off to college, but we went through the exercise and took into account how much they're getting in grants, scholarships, aid, and totaled up what he's going to come out those 4 years with debt. So that he knew what he's
going
to approximate.
But he's going this year.
Yeah.
But is that the right age, 17, 18? What's wrong with 14, 15?
Exactly.
Well,
I mean, agree.
Some people are just so afraid. They're just, and I tell people, you got to get that tuition bill like right now. The people have already got their tuition bills. And it's $10,000, $15,000, depends on the school you go to. And I go, have you reviewed it with your daughter or son? No, I'm afraid to. Well, it's like, where are you going to get the money from?
Yeah.
And, you know, once you go to graduate school, they'll lend you as much as you want.
What was neat about this conversation, though, mom and dad were there with the son, and we had a plan in place long before this. But the neat thing is they're sitting down with the son saying, here's what to expect that you're going to have is debt. You know, that there is not going to be a surprise at the end.
Yeah, that's it. That's it.
And I thought that was awesome that we just sat down, went through that, and here's what to expect.
Yeah. So it's those are some long-term goals. So let's talk about, you know, we have about 4 or 5 minutes left. So short-term goals, what can you invest in? So short-term goals, 0 to 3 years, you got to be relatively safe. I mean, you know.
You can't take risk.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. So, you know, then you're back to treasuries, government securities.
Savings bonds.
Savings bonds. Well, probably not savings bonds. Those are longer
CDs.
Term. Yeah, CDs. So you're those. And you know, I really do like short duration bonds. I do like those. I do like some stocks that are paying some high dividends. You know, those you have to watch, put stop losses in. But, you know, there's some categories out there that I like for short term. Mid range. So you're talking 3 to 10 years. That's a while now. And I usually try to say, people, if you can give me 5 years, I can always get you 4, 5, 6%. I can always get you that. And that's come true with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, then we're looking at some a little bit more risk. We're maybe buying some balanced stocks or balanced mutual funds. And then we're taking some look at some high yield stuff. And that's just worked out well.
Yeah.
So those are some of the investments for midterm. And then, you know, once we do long term, more than 10 years, we're saying, you know, what's the person look like out there? How old are they? Are we saving for retirement? Are we saving for a new house? So we can take a little bit more risk then. So, you know, it's important that you take a look at the categories and deal with your financial advisor when you're talking about mid and long-term goals, because, you know, you don't want to get to the end and have something go down 10 or 15% when you're looking to put that driveway in that costs you $20,000, $30,000.
Yeah, and when you think about, you know, putting down these goals, you need to think about, okay, you're setting goals. What debts do you have out there? Like your home mortgage, when do you want to have that paid off? Now, those are other things to look at too. Having debts paid off is part, can be one of those goals.
But, you know, those are some of the programs that we have to say, okay, what does one extra payment a year give you over a 30-year loan? What is paying an extra of $2,000 a year on a mortgage get you at the end? So, you know, we have programs that do that for you. I mean, it's one of those. So that's, you know, we're talking midterm goals. You know, I like that 60-40 split in a balanced fund. I like that area. I like some of the higher yielding bonds right now that are paying 5% and 6%. So those are, you know, midterm, longer term, you know, we're talking about your future. Then, you know, where are you allocated? You know, some of the things that being out at a conference for a week that we think people ought to be investing is, we think that emerging market is coming on. We think healthcare area is a place that's a place to be. Real estate investment trusts in hospitals, in doctor's offices, because that arena is going to continue to be a substantial growth area for long-term investment. That's fairly valued.
Yeah, well, and you think about that, that makes sense, because one of the things I read in by the numbers was that how the aging population, that area of 65 and older, is growing, and growing from 14% to up over 25% in the next coming year. So, you know, investing for long term, another important thing to think about investing for long term, if you're working at an employer that has a 401k plan, you need to take advantage of you leveraging that 401k plan, especially if that employer matches.
Yeah.
So you cannot forget about what we call free money. If you put in 3%, some employers will match you that 3%. You need to look at those things as part of this long-term goal planning.
So, you know, if you're gonna take a look at it, what's your time frame? You know, what's the time horizon? Is it short term, 0 to 3, midterm, 3 to 10, 10 and older for long term? What's your time horizon? What's your risk tolerance? And please sit down with your financial advisor to go through these things. Those are so important. And then what type of liquidity needs through these years are you talking about? When do you need liquidity? That's important, because sometimes people surprise us, and surprises aren't good. You got to plan.
Yeah,
surprises
that's true.
I'm not happy with surprises.
No, but you have to plan for what we call those what ifs. There's always going to be what ifs. What if this happens? You have to have some plans in there of things that may happen and come up that you don't expect that could happen. Hey, we're at the end of our show, Jack. It's been great to be back here live. Listeners, you know, if you have questions that come up from the show, call us at our office, 931-1223. Our next week's show, Budget Tips for Retirees. Budget Tips for Retirees, which is going to be a great show, great tips that we're going to offer retirees. And Jack, any other closing comments or remarks?
Nope. We're glad to be back. We're back live now going forward. The summer's over and we're back.
Well, not quite over, but it's getting there.
About
listeners,
2 weeks.
Thank you for listening to WHTC Money Matters. This is Kerry Cooley.
And Jack Godfrey. Have a great weekend.
For listening to WHTC Money Matters with Jack Godfrey and Kerry Cooley from the Cooley Godfrey Investment Group of Zeeland. Join us next week for WHTC Money Matters on 1450 WHTC, Holland's news leader.